Begin the current daf, Masechtas Kittin, daf Yud Gimel. Begin 11 lines down by the top of the Amud, where the Gemara continues with the next Mishnah, again continuing the theme of the previous Mishnah, which also discussed the same type of a case of, as our Mishnah opens up, of Ha'imr Tnu Get, and the Rishonim take out the word Zeh, Rashi, and Tesis. If someone says, give a get, Le'ishti, to my wife, which again, that's what we discussed in the previous Mishnah, regarding the Baal, the Adin's ability to be able to then retract, even though he gave it to the Shlech before it gets to the hand of the woman or to the Eved. However, here we're discussing a different component. Another variable is being introduced over here. So if someone says, give a get to my wife, or shtar shichur la'avdi, or give the document of emancipation to my slave, umeis, and then he dies before he ever got a chance to even give the get. It never got the get even to the agent's hands. He just told them to give the get, but he never even gave him the get itself. Now therefore, Rashi over here, which again Tesis points out that Rashi in the previous disagreed with this concept, but Rashi over here says that that is why over here we don't have the Masei Machlik as we had in the previous Mishnah by the Chachamim, where they said that from the moment that the Shliach gets it, even if the Eved didn't get it yet, the Eved's already considered Meshuchar, he's already considered emancipated because the Shliach was already Mezaka in it, already merited for him as if he received it from as if he's like a shliach shalom kamaisa. He's an extension of the one who's receiving it. Here Rashi holds, again, not as he had previously said, but that here nothing was even given over to the agent, and the person, the man, the husband or the master already died. Therefore, in all cases, even the Chacham is going to agree that the Eved is not going to be Meshuchar, the woman's not going to be divorced, and lo yitnu lachar misa, you can't go ahead and give the get after the person's death. And the reason being is because the halachic, what happens is when the divorce is only when it reaches the hand of the woman or the slave. Now the problem is, when it reaches the hands of the woman or the slave, then the meshacher, the husband, is already dead. And it's no more in his domain anymore, and therefore you can't go ahead and actualize the halachic gerishin or shichur, because there's no more the meshacher, there's no more there, the megarish, and therefore, though he said it when he was still alive, you don't go ahead and give it after his death. However, says the Mishnah, tnu mana l'ish pleinu umeis, but let's say he says, give this money, this mana, certain amount of money, to that person, and then he dies, there the halacha is yitnu lachar misa. There you do give it after the death. So again, in short, the Mishnah says, if someone says, give my get, whether it's to a woman or to a slave, and then he dies, then you don't give it, because again, even for the Eved, the Shlich didn't even get the actual get to really actualize the Shichur. It was just that they were told to, and once they want to go ahead and do it, it's already too late, because you can't go ahead and have a Shichur, you can't have a Gerishin from the person to that woman or to that slave, because he's already dead. And however, regarding money, there, even though nothing happened, no Kenyan was done at the time when he said it, however, still the money is going to be given after that he's dead. Now, regarding to this last case, regarding the money, so Omar Rav Yitzchak bar Shmuel bar Marta Mishmei de Rav, he qualifies, this says, v'hu, this that we learned in the Mishnah, regarding tznu mano l'pleini, that you do give it after he's dead, is told ma shetziburin u'munachin, that the money is gathered and placed, b'keren zavis, that is told that it's in a corner, and the money is there, and he says, give this money to that person. Then, even though nothing was done, and then he dies, you're going to go give it. Again, in contrast to the get shichur and to the get of the isha. So the Gemara wonders, b'mayiskina, what exactly is the case that our Mishnah is talking about, that Rav Yitzchak bar Shmuel bar Marta, in the name of Rav, is qualifying and saying it has to be that tziburin u'menachin, that the money that we're going to give is that it was there, and it was gathered together. We know which money is referring to. As the Gemara explains the question, Elam ababari, ever told about someone that was a healthy person? And he says, give money, and he happened to die. Well, ki tzibur in my haba, what does it help that the money was gathered? Halei mashach. But there was never an acquisition that was done with the money. There was no mashicha, there was no drawing of it. Now, the thing is that what's called a matnas bari, when a healthy person is gifting something to somebody regarding metaltlin, movable item, which is what money is, then he can retract until the recipient of the gift does mashicha, draws it, and creates a kenyan to acquire it. Now, therefore, when this person dies, so too his inheritors could retract, as Rashi explains, at least according to the opinion that holds that there's no mitzvah l'kayim divrei ames, there's no requirement or mitzvah to fulfill the words of the person who died. And therefore, since there's no mitzvah, when he died, and the recipient never got it because he never did a Mashicha, so who cares that he said Tenuman Laplani? The Yarshin could say, no, we don't want to give it. They could retract. So why is the Halacha, if we're talking about a Bari, that we give it after he dies? No. So the El B'Shchiv Merah. So what are you going to say? So we're talking about a Shchiv Merah. Shchiv Merah is a person on his deathbed, he's about to die, and he said Tenuman Laplani. Now then, if that's the case, so then ask the Gemara, my Iri Tzibur, and then why does Rav have to say that the case we're talking about in the Mishnah is specifically that it's gathered, Ki Ein Tzibur Nami, even if the money's not gathered in one place, the Halach is, Dar Kaimelon, we know that we say, the Divrei Shchiv Merah, that the words of a person that's on his deathbed, is Kiksuvim Ukum Mesurin Dami, it's like it was written and given over. So no matter where it is, it doesn't make a difference if it could be somewhere, who knows, hiding somewhere, but if you write a document and you give it over to that person, he already acquired it. That's the halacha that the rabbi said in regard to Shchiv Merah, because that he shouldn't be perturbed, that it's not going to get where he wants it to be before he passes away. So then why do you need a tziburin? So either way, it's difficult. If it's a bari, how does it help tziburin? If it's a Shchiv Merah, why do you need tziburin? So Amar Rav Zvid, so the Gemara gives two approaches. Rav Zvid said, he says, La'olam babar, truthfully we're talking about a robust, healthy person. Now, then the question is, so then how does it help Tziburin? You shouldn't have to give it because the Yershin could retract because nothing was ever given over. So that he explains, Zukad Rav Huna Amar Rav. Again, this is Rav who is saying this halacha, and this goes according to a different halacha that he says, where Rav Huna says in his name the following halacha, Dam Rav Huna Rav, if someone says to another person, Mana li biyadcha, there's money of mine that's in your possession. You owe me money. You have money of mine. You know what? Instead of giving it to me, Tenehu Lei Laplani, give it to that person. I want that person. I would give that person money, but you owe me money. So you know what? You give that money to that person. And he says this, B'mai Mitzlashdan, in the presence of all three of those parties standing there, meaning he's there, the guy who owes the money is there, and the one he wants to give it to are all there, says Rav, Kana. Then that person, that third party, acquires it, which the Gemara is going to later on explain, how does this work? What is the underlying principle? Usually with words, you cannot create kinyonim. You have to mashicha, hagbah, you have to do something, but the Gemara will explain that. But that's why that Rav is qualifying the halacha of our Mishnah that they have to be tziburin, because, and this is in the interpretation of Rav Zvid and Rav's halacha, that Rav only said that you could acquire b'mayim et shloshtan only with things that are like a pikadon, things that are deposits, not something like a milva, like a loan, which means to say is that you need to have something that it's there, it's present, and then, since it's there, so then even just with words, b'mayim et shloshtan, you can go ahead and create an acquisition. But a milva is not even yours to go ahead and say, okay, the money that you owe me, what money? Milva is lahitzonet, and it's used to spend. Yeah, in theory, in abstract, I owe you money. But in practicality, I don't owe you, there's nothing of mine, there's nothing of yours that I have by me. So then, yeah, how would I be able to go ahead and acquire to that person? But here, where the money is here, it's like a pekadon. So that's the case that we're talking about in the Mishnah. When he says, Tnuman l'ish plaini, it means to say specifically a case that he's telling someone that has money that's his, that's deposited by him, give it to that person, and then la'achar misa, we will give it, because although no kinyan was done, there is a halacha of Maimon Shloshtan that is as if a kinyan was done. Again, we'll explain that how exactly that works. But that's how Rav Zvid explains the halacha of our Mishnah. That's what we're calling that tzibur in the menachin. Mean to say, it's not lohitza. It's not like a loan which was used already. It's there. It's just deposited by that person. That's the halacha that we're talking about in our Mishnah. Now, Papa, he gives a different approach. He says, la'aylam b'shchiv merah, truthfully, we're talking about a person that's on his deathbed. Now, then the question was, then why do you need it to be tzibur in the menachin? Whatever he says goes. It's like it was already a kinyan done. And that he says, and meaning this halacha that Rav qualified, the halacha of the Mishnah has to be tzibur in the menachin. Rav Zvid said one approach with a different halacha of Rav. Now Rav Papa is saying a different approach of shchiv merah based on a different halacha of Rav. Damar Rav, because Rav said shchiv merah she'amar tnumanu l'plaini menachsei. Let's say a dying person says, give this money, a mana is a certain amount of money, to that person from my assets. Now it depends how he says it. If he says, mana zeh, give this money, which, again, that's how Rav Papa is qualifying tziburin, meaning it's present, it's here, it's gathered together, we know what he's referring to. Then, noisnin, then we're going to give, because that's halacha of shchiv merah. It's kiksuv nikum surun dam, it's like it's done already. But if mana stam, let's say he just says, give a mana. He doesn't specify which mana, which dollar, which amount, which money he's talking about. Then actually says, Rav, ain't noisnin, you don't give it. Why not? Didn't we say that ksuv nikum surun dami? Yeah, but chashin on shem amana kavar. We're concerned that maybe he has money that's buried somewhere in the ground. And that's kamar. That's what he was saying to give to that person. We don't know which money he was referring to. So we can't just give any money. Maybe he means that other money. So therefore, in that case, you're not going to give. And therefore, that's what Rav Papa is saying. Why did we have to say, what did Rav have to say in qualifying the halach of our Mishnah, which is the halach of Shchimera? And you give it, of course you give it, because it's Kiksuv Nikum Mesumer Dami. To say that it's Tzibur Numanach, and that because the money's gathered, because it has to be like a Zeh, this money, give to that person, then you give it. But if you didn't say that it's not gathered there, and we don't know what he's referring to, then actually Rav says you wouldn't give it, because you don't know. Maybe he's referring to a different coin, which is buried somewhere in the ground, and he didn't want to give this other money. Now, parenthetically, the Gemara says, Velchus, actually, Allah is that it's not true. L'kvur loy chashinan. We're actually not concerned for money that's buried, and even if he says manastam, we will give money from his monies, and we don't have to think that maybe his money buried somewhere else, and he didn't want to give from his other monies. But that's the interpretation of Rav Zvid and Rav Papa qualifying the qualifier of Rav, that he said in the halacha of Mishnah that by money you will give, not like get isha and get shichur, because either it's talking about shchimra or bari, but again, based on the halachas of Rav, whether because of Maimed Shlashtan, or because of the halacha that even by shchimra, it has to be manazeh, that's why we need it to be talking about tzibur and umanach. Now, so the Gemara asks, Rav Papa, my time alone, Emek Rav Zvid, why didn't Rav Papa say like the interpretation of Rav Zvid, that we're talking about a bari, and it's by Maimed Shlashtan, and that's why tzibur and umanachan is going to work. So that the Gemara continues, Amad Bezin says, because ksav Rav Papa held, that's not true. Ki amar Rav, when Rav said his halacha Maimed Shlashtan, doesn't make a difference even if it's alone. Meaning, even though, as we mentioned before, that alone is what's called hitzanina. The money that you give to that person, you don't have it by him anymore. It's not like it's there. You have it and give it to that person. The money you're lending me is to spend. I owe you, in theory, money, but you don't have anything by me. And that Rav Papa said that Rav said his halacha doesn't make a difference even if it's a loan, or obviously it wouldn't make a difference if it's a deposit. Now therefore, that's why Rav Papa said you can't qualify Rav's halacha of Tziburin, talking about a case of Maimed Shlashtan, because if it was told by Maimed Shlashtan, you actually would not need it to be Tziburin gathered, meaning like a deposit, because even a loan, Rav still says halacha, that Maimed Shlashtan, you could acquire it to that third party. Now, so the Gemara, so Rav Zvid my time will omek Rav Papa. Why didn't Rav Zvid say like Rav Papa, that we're talking about shchiv merah, and the reason why it has to be tzibur and menachin is because it has to be like monazeh, this, because even by shchiv merah, if it doesn't specify, we wouldn't give because maybe it's buried somewhere, and that's the money he's referring to. So that the Gemara answers that, no, loy mituk mamasnit mishchiv merah. Rav Zvid couldn't say like Rav Papa, because you can't say that the halacha of our Mishnah is talking about a person on his deathbed, which was the premise of the case, conceptualization, that how Rav Papa was explaining it. Now, mimai, from where does Rav Zvid know this? That the Mishnah cannot be talking about a Shchimra. Because Midiktani, we learned in the Mishnah, a contrast, we learned two cases that saying Tanu would not work. And then we had the case of Mana, which to saying Tanu would work. Now, we opened up the Mishnah, we said, Oime Tanu get zed l'ishti. If someone says, give this get to my wife, or Vishtar Shechar Zelavdi, or give this the document of emancipation to my slave. And we said, Umes, and then he dies, so the halacha was said, that you don't give it after that he dies. That's the halacha that we explain. Now, explains the Gemara as follows. Time of the mace. What it sounds like is that why you're not going to give it to this woman or to this slave is because the master, the husband, he died, and there's halacha of inged lachar misa. You can't create a divorce when there's no husband, when he's dead already, because the divorce only happens when she receives it. Same thing for the shichur. So that's the halacha because he died. The inference is, but if he was still alive, then you would give it. And meaning, what is it? What's the chiddush in that? Of course, he said give it. The chiddush would be, the novelty of that halacha would be that you don't have to consult with him and say, should we give it? Do you want it? No, once he says, you go ahead and you execute what he had said. And if he's still alive, then they'll be divorced. Now, time of the Amar Tanu, but the inference of that is, and we have to follow the logic over here, and the inference is, are that the reason is because he said, give it. In other words, this that we're being medayik, we're inferring and we're saying that, that if he's alive, you would give it, sounds like only because originally he said to give it, as that's the case of Tanu get l'ishti. But the inference of that is, haloi amar Tanu, but let's say he didn't say give it. Rather, let's say he only said write it. Then it would sound like that the Tana, the Mishnah, would not say that the reason why you wouldn't give it would be because he died, the understanding would be, even if he'd be alive, that ein neisnin, that you wouldn't give it until he says the words tenut, to give it. Just saying writing wouldn't work. And the reason why we know this is because from the fact that the Mishnah didn't say ha'omer, it could have said instead of ha'omer tenu get zel ishti, it could have said, if someone says kisu get zel ishti, write this get for my wife, and he dies, it could have said also lo yidnu lachem isi, you don't give it after that he dies. Now it doesn't say that, it says only tenu, which is obviously more than just writing. Tenu is saying, go ahead and do it. Writing is, okay, write it, but then consult with me if I want to give it. Now, so the inference of this is that if he said kisu get le'ishti, that there, it's not only if when he died it wouldn't work, it sounds like that even if he would be alive, he wouldn't give it. Now the problem is, and this is what Rav Zvid is saying, if it's true like you're saying, Rav Papa, that u'bishchiv mera, that the Mishnah is talking about a person on his deathbed, meaning because that's the contra of the two cases, of the mana, that you give it when he's shchiv mera, and get that you wouldn't give it when he's shchiv mera. The problem is, afa gavtu lo amr tenu, but the halacha is, by a get, even when he doesn't say to give it, rather he only says to write it, the halacha is that nice, and that you do give it, like Rav Shimon Shazuri, did not, like we learned the Mishnah, later on, the Samachem at Beis. The Mishnah says as follows, b'rishayna ha'yo'imim, originally, in the beginning, they used to say, "Hayetze b'koiler." If someone's going out in chains, he's going out to be executed. V'amar, and he says, "Kisu get le'ishni, write a get for my wife." And the reason why he's saying that is, even though he's going to die, and we know that he's dying, and she's going to be able to get remarried, but he doesn't want that because he didn't have any children, that she should have to go through the yibum process with his brother. So he wants her to be considered divorced and not dying without that he's dying without any children. So if let's say he says, "Write this get for my wife that she could be divorced." So the halacha that they were mechadish was, hare elu yichtuva b'yitnu. Not only do they write the get, because that's what he authored them to do, but they even give it to her. And now, the reason for this is, although he didn't say to give it, he only says to write it, but obviously he's not in a clear frame of mind, he's about to be executed, so he didn't get a chance to conclude what he really wanted to say, but really what his intention was not just, oh, write it and I'll decide, in a few minutes he's going to be dead, he meant to say write it and to give it. So therefore the chachamim went so far as to say that even though he says write it, it means writing and giving it. Now, so that was the only exception that they said. Chazru lema, then they went and they added on to say, no, afa mefarish. Even someone that's going overseas, or v'hayitz b'shayara, if someone's going with a caravan into the desert, that there also, he's very perturbed, he's going on this dangerous trip, and even though he says write to get, he means to write it and to give it. So then they're going to write it and give it. That Reb Shimon Shizui Omer, he said afa masukan, he said also someone that's in danger, meaning a shchimra that's about to die. The other halacha is also, even though he says write it, what does he mean? Of course he means write and to give it. He's about to die, and that's what he's concerned for. So therefore, says Rav Zvid, I couldn't say like Rav Papa that the Mishnah is talking about a case of shchimra, because if it was a shchimra, then we wouldn't understand why when the Mishnah starts off by saying Omer tenu getzel leishti, that then it works. And meaning, then it doesn't work when he dies, but it works when he's alive. But it sounds like that if he only said kisvu, then it wouldn't work even when he's alive. Well, it's not true. We see from Rishon Shazuri that if it's tomar shchimra, that it would work mechaim, even if he didn't say tenu, even if he only said kisvu. So obviously, we're not talking about shchimra. We must be talking about a bari. By a bari, a healthy person, of course, if he just says to write, it's not going to work even mechaim. It's when you say tenu. And again, that's why he had to qualify the halacha of the sefer of the money, not by qualification of a shchivmera, but rather as a bari, as we explained, of a different halacha of Rav, of Maimet Shloshtim. Now, Maskev Rav Ashi. Vashi asked on this reasoning why Rav Zvid didn't hold like a papa in our Mishnah. He says, what do you mean? No man name alone, the Mesnidin, Rav Shimon Shazuri. Who said the town of our Mishnah is Rav Shimon Shazuri, who you're saying, based on his interpretation, Rav Papa would be incorrect? Dumb Rabbanahi. Maybe it's going like Rabbanahi, if it's not difficult for Rav Papa, why it's told about a shchivmera, and even so, it wouldn't work Michaim if he said kisvu, because it was only Rav Shimon Shazuri who added on the Masukin, but the Chacham disagree with him. So again, that was the reasoning why each one didn't look like the other one in interpreting and qualifying the halacha of Rav, who was qualifying the halacha of our Mishnah, that has to be Tziburin Umenach. Now the Gemara goes back to discuss Gufa. We had mentioned this before, that Amrav Hunim Rav, he says, this halacha of Manali B'yadcha, this was, Rav Zvid had quoted this, in his understanding of Rav's halacha of my Mishloshtan, to qualify the halacha of our Mishnah. So if someone says to another person, mana li biyotcha, there's a money of mine in your hand, tenei uloy leplan, to give it to that person instead of paying it back to me, but my Mishloshtan in the presence of all three of those parties, halacha is kana, Rav said that person acquires it. Now, Amar Rava, Rava says, mistabra milsei de Rav bepekad, it makes sense that to understand how Rav would be explaining this halacha by a deposit. Because by a deposit, it's there, it's present. So you could acquire it to that other person, even though there's no formal kinyan happening. But by a loan, it wouldn't make sense how another person could acquire something that doesn't even exist over here just by verbally telling that person that that person should get it. How does that create a kinyan just by words, which was exactly how Rav Zvid had interpreted Rav. But, says Rava, Voilikim, which is a term of taking an oath by God, Amar Rav, Rav says, Afil b'milva. Actually, Rav's halacha was said even by a loan, which was why Rav Papa didn't learn like Rav Zvid, and that is even if it's not around. He just owes him the money, he could tell him b'mayim shloshin and acquire it to another person. It menami, so too we learned that Amar Shmuel b'shmei de Levi, Shmuel said the name of Levi, that if someone tells another person, Milva li b'yatcha, there's a loan, there's money that I loaned you that you owe me, Tineu loyla, plainly give it to that person, and he says it b'mayim shloshin in the presence of all three parties, Kana he'll acquire it. Which the Gemara asks, but time am I? What's the reason? And that's why Rav Zvid originally held that opinion. What's the reason that by a loan, that third party will be able to acquire it, but it's not even here that an kinyan could even take effect on it? Even if you're going to say somehow there's an act of kinyan here in just the words when all three parties are here, but there's nothing here to make a kinyan on, it's a loan. So Amma Meima gives the following interpretation. He says, Nasa ka'oimerloi. What happens is that it says, if the borrower told the lender, b'shas matan mo'is, at the time of the giving of the money, meaning when he got the loan from the lender, it's as if he told him, shabad nolach, from here on, I am indebted to you, meaning I owe you this money. Now, l'didach, I owe it to you, u'l'chol d'asu machmasach, and all who come from you, from your authority, of the monies that I owe you. Now, therefore, when he tells him at a later point in time, t'nei u'l'plein, they give it to that person, what retroactively this is revealing that at the time that the loan of the money, which that is somewhat of a kinyan, meaning of creating shibudim, of being indebted, of being a debtor to someone, that's a kinyan that happens at the exchange of the money that then he becomes indebted to him, that he was not only indebted to him, but all who come from him he was being mishabed himself through that kinyan of getting the loan, the money that was being loaned to him, was also to that third party, which was later revealed. Who was that coming from you is this person that he said. And that's how the kinyan of Mamish Lashon works, even on the milva, which is not around right now, because it's not happening now. It actually was happening at the time of the loan. Now, however, the Gemara asks, Amalei Rav Ashi l'Amemer. Rav Ashi asks on this interpretation of Amemer. He tells him, Elameata, if that's the case, based on your interpretation, so I'll ask you the following case. Hikna, if let's say the lender wants to be maknet, to create this acquisition, and he wants to give it to the third party, to someone that was born later on, in other words, the one that he wants to be the third party receiving it now, was actually born after the original loan happened. Where he wasn't there at the time when the money was originally given to the borrower. So it would sound like, according to your interpretation, that actually that you wouldn't be able to make the kinyan mayim shloshin in that case. And the reason being is because since the whole shibud that he accepted upon himself, the borrower, at the time of the loan, was to all those who are there coming from the authority of the lender, he can't say it refers to that person that he's years later wants to say b'mayim shloshin, because he wasn't around in the world at the time to be able to be part of that hakna of being mishabed himself, because he wasn't alive in that case. Now, as Rav Ashi explains, because da filler may, because even the country of mayor, dama that he says, that a person could acquire something, could create a kinyan on something that's not even in the world yet. For example, let's say someone selling the fruits of a tree, and there's no fruits on the tree yet, or let's say he's selling what his nets will catch, but nothing's in the net yet. So Rameyer, that's his opinion, which others disagree. And he says that even though it's something shalei b'la'olam, it didn't happen yet, but you could be maknet it, you could sell it to someone else. So on that, Rav Ashi says, but hanimila, that was only said to create a kinyan lidover to something, meaning to a person, sheyesh neba'ilam. At least the one that you're acquiring it to is in the world. Just the subject is not there yet. Avalidover shein neba'ilam loy. But even Ramey would agree that although you could be makna something that's not in the world yet, but to someone that's not in the world yet, that even Ramey would agree you can't do. And here, this person that you want to create mayim shloshin to, which you're saying it's based on at the time of the loan, which that's when he was meshavet himself and he was being maknet, you can't say it to that person because of davar shleibel olam. And seemingly we don't make any differentiations in Rav's halacha of Maimish Lashon that the person had to be there at the time of the loan. And therefore that refutes in your interpretation that it's all based on the time of the loan. So El Amar Ravashi, rather Ravashi gives a different interpretation for this halacha, how it could work even by a milva as Rav had qualified the halacha of Rav, as we continue on top of Yudalim and Aleph. He says, Bahi hano, for that amount of pleasure, the komishtan yilei, that it now it's suddenly changing for the borrower. Bein milva yishan el milva chadasha. It was an old loan, and they owed this guy money so long, and this guy's fed up with him. He's like, you know what? I'm not going to be busy with this loan anymore. You see that person? I owe him money, or I want to give him money. You go ahead, you pay it to him. That's what my mishloshen is, where he's saying that the money that you owe me in this loan, give it to that person. Now, what's happening now is that the borrower suddenly has a new creditor. Now, that is beneficial for the debtor because it's starting over again. He's not as burnt out as the first person because the first person, he owed it for such a long time. Now, he could extend it a little bit longer because for this guy, he's a fresh guy. He's a new creditor. So with that amount of pleasure, gomar, that the borrower now, at the time of the saying of the Maimit Shloshna, when he says, give it to that person, he concludes, u'mishabid nafshei, and now with a full heart, he now indebts himself. How? Based on that, there is a kinyan over here because there's a transaction over here. The borrower is getting pleasure, which is an extension of essentially some time of the loan. For that, he now is making himself indebted to the new person, and he removes himself from the first person. That is actually the kinyan that's happening, although the loan money is not here. But there is a transaction happening here for that hano that he gets to extend the loan. He's meshavet himself now to whoever is that third party with the maimon shloshna. Now that the Gemara asks on the interpretation of Rav Ashi, Omalei huna mar b'reider of Nechemi, he asks Rav Ashi, he says, El me'ata, now based on your interpretation, let's say that new third party who is receiving the loan is a strong type of a person who will not, no monkey business. I mean, up until now, your original lender, he was sweet on you. He's giving it over to these creditors, and he knows how to get his money. Kugoyin Hani Debe Baal Yashav was quoted other times in Shas, these strong armed type of people like that family of Baal Yashav, the Kafti Vishakla Alta, where you don't know what you're getting into. They tie up and they take the money right away. So based on your interpretation of Ashi, seemingly then the Kinya Mamish Lashon wouldn't work. Because it's only based on the hano that he's getting that is extending. You're not extending. You're actually getting into worse and hotter water when he's giving it over to that third person. Now, if you're going to say that you're right in such a situation that then he wouldn't be gomer makna nafshe, and actually my mishloshim wouldn't work, but then, as the Gemara says this other times in Shas, as a Talmudic dictum, that you're giving relative measurements for a halacha, and you can't do that. Meaning, how are we going to now measure every time? Oh, are you okay with this new third party? Oh, then you're gomer mishabed nafshe. Oh, then my mishlash won't work. Oh, you're not okay? We can't give such halachas because it's not able to qualify it in a relative way because you're saying it depends. If he likes the new person, oh, then there is hana, then he will be mishabed nafshe. And therefore, that wouldn't sound like a reasonable interpretation for this halacha, why my mishlash would work according to Rav, even as Rav explained for the halacha of the milva for a loan. So Ella Amar Mazutra, rather Mazutra concludes this discussion by saying, Hani Tlas Mili, the following three things, including this halacha of Maimich Lashon, Shavinu Rabbanon Kehilchas Abalei Taima. The Rabbanon considered it, they equated, they executed this halacha as if there's no reason to it. In other words, as if they received this as a halacha L'Moshe Mesinai, where they don't have to explain the reason, even though there's no reason, seemingly, how it works. Now, Taisa explained when the Gemara says this idea of Kehilchas Abalei Tam, it doesn't mean that there's no reason why the Chacham instituted this. In other words, for example, by Maimit Shlashtan, of course there's a reason why they did it, because they didn't want people to have to be busy to create new kinyanim. So they allowed you just to do it verbally amongst all three parties. What the Gemara means, what Mazurta means to say, is that they didn't explain, it's like Kehilchas Abalei Tam, how does the kinyan happen? Where is the acquisition? There's a reason why they're doing this. Which again, as we explained from Maimich Lashon. Question is, but like as if it's Halacha Moshe Mesinai, without any reason, of how is it happening? What's the mechanics that they didn't explain? So what are these three things? Well, chadaha, one is this halacha mayim shloshim, which again, as we explained, which we don't know how this mayim shloshim is working. The idach, the other halacha is the amar b'hudim shmuel. If you say the name of Shmuel, hakaisav kol nachasav le'ishter. If someone writes, he writes off all his properties to his wife. Actually, la'asa el apotropa. He's actually only making her an apotropos, an overseer over the estate to be the one that makes the executive decisions about what to bring in, what to take out, what to sell, what to buy. Now, although he wrote it to her in the terminology of gifting it to her, actually she does not acquire all his assets. And again, there's no reason why over that, because if he gifted it to her, why shouldn't she get it? But that's what they instituted, and it's based on the principle of Hefker, Bezdin, Hefker. They could, Bezdin, the courts, could say that although he gifted it to you, it's not yours, we consider it ownerless, and the courts have that right, and it's really your children's. You're just the one who gets to decide about what to do with the money, but it's not really yours. And again, here Taisa also explains, because a person wouldn't leave his children bereft without any money and giving it to someone else, and therefore must be the reason why he wrote it to his wife is only to give her the honor and to designate her as an apotropos. So in a glorified way, he said, oh, I'm gifting it to you. But again, that there's a reason why the Chacham said this. It's not just no reason. But again, when we say it's like Hilchas Abalei Tam, it's to say, how did they do this? Which Rashi explains how they did it a little bit like Hefka Bez Nefka, but really there's no real kinyan here. Really, he gifted it all to the wife, and really, she should get it. And v'idach, the third halacha is the Amr of Chananya. Of Chananya said, Hamasi Isha lebnei gadol b'bayis. If someone marries off a woman to his oldest son in a house, meaning he designated a house where no, he doesn't live in there, he just made it for the house of where the chasna happens, Kanoi, the son then acquires that house as his own house now. And he can use the house and he can live in it. And meaning we're talking about a case where the father removes all that he has from that house, then the son could rely on it that it was being given to him, as the Gemara explains this in Baba Basa Daf Kuf Mendal Menalf. And again, therefore there's a reason. It makes sense that he really wants to gift it to his son. But there was no formal kenyan being done. So that's why these three halachas are kehilchas of Leitama, and therefore the halacha of Rav, of Maimit Shloshtan, really, there's a reason why, because we don't want people to have to go, okay, fine, you acquire for me, and then I can give it to that third party. No, we could do it just verbally. But again, we don't understand exactly the mechanics of how that works. That's how these three halachas are in that sense of kehilchas of Leitama, although there's a reason why they didn't really explain how does the kinyan actually work.